search or watch. The guy actually had the very much similar symptoms that I had in Lithuania when I was doing the Lithuania experiment. And he was asking for help. He works for a company that deals with RF and high voltage experiments. He works for many years. And he decided to ask me the question because his symptoms were similar. And to
you. I remember correctly, Wes, one of the experiments you were exposed to was a yolk from a Russian television set or a Romanian television set that when it's operating at certain frequencies and you put your head near that ferrite yolk, you develop some very strong headaches among other symptoms. Is that one of the experiments you're referring to? Over you, Wes, KQLIW?
But it was exactly the same experiment you're talking about. It was in Kaunas, 120 kilometers from Vilnius, the capital of Lithuania. And we had a yoke. The yoke has a few windings on it. One of the windings was driven by 50 hertz, 1 watt generator. The other one, I mean the 1 watt output of RF, let me go. And the other one was looking at that what we call ferroresonance frequency. It was derived from analysis of the white noise that was given from the generator that could not go over 2 megahertz. So the white noise was created from 0 to 2 megahertz. And then we have looked at the highest peak possible in it, and then the second generator also 5 watts taken from the grid, but only 1 out watt output was then tuned to that frequency. And then at the output we had bipolar coil where we had a light bulb connected. Surprising to us, we were able to successfully light up number of light bulbs. And the last one was that I witnessed was 600 watts of resistive load, and then I was asleep, but they've been providing 1 kilowatt out, which of course doesn't matter how it sounds. The problem was that at the beginning of that I came to this yoke, and the yoke was from the Russian TV set Rubin, which we think was doped with some kind of material, and I at the beginning of it one of the guys switched on the device and he said, "I got hit." I said, "You got hit with what? Something hit you?" He says, "Yes." And I was driving from United States to Lithuania just to witness that experiment, and I said to myself, well, I'm going to lose all of the opportunities. I put my head a few inches from the device, but on the left-hand side. And I said, nothing is happening. So I was holding my head approximately for a minute or so. And then after that, 25 minutes later, I was approximately 10 feet from the device, and I started to feel a pain, but the pain wasn't really on the left-hand side, it was on the right-hand side of the head, starting from the forehead. Then I went to each one of the 6 guys, and they had a similar kind of discomfort. So then when I came back to New York for 2.5 weeks, I was experiencing that pain, and that pain was then traveling from the forehead to the back of the head, but only on the right-hand side. Now, surprisingly, the guy had got similar symptoms. The only the common problem that we both of us had is the ferrite was vibrating. In other words, it was having a sound of that it was in the in the bandwidth of the less than 1500 kilohertz. Not 1500. Yeah, 1500 kilohertz. So what's still audible range. The frequency that yoke was operating in my presence was approximately about 2 kilohertz, 3 kilohertz. The frequency that his device was vibrating was approximately sub-audible, so I would say somewhere around 10 kilohertz. And to exit.
I can tell that you guys experienced some medical side effects from this Russian yoke of a television set. But if I understand correctly, the major motivation for doing the experiment in the first place is that you're putting a few watts of energy into the yoke and getting 600 watts or kilowatt of energy out and lighting up light bulbs. And with those light bulbs being lit at 50 hertz, and I think you told me at one time that these light bulbs were lit for a good fraction of an hour. So it sounds like for a good fraction of an hour, the power output was considerably greater than the power input. And I think that was the major motivation of the experiment in the first place. Is that roughly true, Wes? WS2N, KQRIW?
That is correct. I know that it sounds unbelievable, but that is correct. That is what I have experienced. The guy is asking me, should he drop the experiment, should he drop the job, should he take the vacation? And I told him the answer would not be fast, but I promise you I'm going to do everything to get the answer from few guys. I have two major guys, and it is you and Dr. Roy. And that's why I voted to you. Yes. Summary, we had two generators that were drawing out of the grid 5 watts each one. American-made generators, the output at 50 ohm was 1 watt. But due to the mismatch of the impedance, I would say we were delivering milliwatts to the coil. We were getting 600 watts out at maximum. I didn't see personally, I was asleep, 1 kilowatt, they told me again, later on. Thank you. Back to you.
Do you believe that the 600 watts that was going into those light bulbs was the majority of that 600 watts of energy at 50 hertz, even though 50 hertz was only one of the signals that went into that yoke over the U.S.?
If you look, you analyze the shape of the signal, 50 hertz was the carrier and 1.2 megahertz drifting to 1.8 megahertz was modulating frequency.
At 1.2 to 1.8 megahertz drifting, was that an input signal or was the yoke somehow creating that as the output? Back to you, Wes.
Yoke was creating it as an output, but intentionally it was intentioned for us to modulate 50 hertz with 1.2 to 1.8. The thing is that when ferrite starts to create that noise, ferrite was cold, was maybe just a little warm. That was not just illusion of being warm. So the ferrite, but ferrite was vibrating, and I would say I heard about 4 kilohertz sound of it. And then after a few minutes, there was a need to change the frequency, and there was the modulating frequency, not the carrier frequency, to higher to get them. The peak, so we were just doing that and doing that and doing that and doing that. At the same time, the 600 watts was not leading, it was for us in full brightness. So let's say I was just, we all, six of us, we were 50% in error. 300 watts out of 1 watt, and not even 1 watt. and to exceed.
This experiment, where you get a lot more watts out than you put into that yoke, how many people have duplicated that experiment? Did that take place once, twice, or 50 times? Has anyone else succeeded in duplicating that one, Wes? KQRIW?
There was one guy in the United States who was working on it, and there were two guys in Europe. Immediately after we got the side effects, we spread the information, guys, to be careful. I myself stopped to deal with it till I get the proper instrumentation to measure it. But in the meantime, I start to work with Coleman, which actually requires similar instrumentation, similar set of devices. Yes, I'm a little bit in fear to go back to the same experiment. And also, the fluorite, what we find out after this long time, the fluorite is simply non-usable in the frequency range from 0 to 2 megahertz. You got to go higher and higher and higher. So something is changing in the structure of response of this material. And to achieve.
The ferrite material of that yoke, is that something that was manufactured 20 years ago as part of a television set? Is it available today? If you wanted to buy more of that material, is it possible to do that over the U.S.?
It's very hard to get it. After we announced the results of the experiments, there were thousands of guys who were simply hunting over the villages for the old TV sets, and it's very hard to get it. I could get some pieces of it. I believe I have one, exactly the same one that was used before. So now I have a number of devices that would allow me to do the same experiments for trying to pinpoint the problem, like EDXRF, that both for Coleman and for the Lithuania experiment is valid. That one will give me basic components of the material used or the specimen under the test. And then I have the beta imager, actually it's beta and alpha imager. Then with that one, the use of the video will allow me to see to incredible sensitivity if there is any interaction. The plenty of other stuff that I have, I just don't want to list it. I'm absolutely amazingly prepared. I believe 20 devices that I have. Yes, there is a fear to go. So what I need from you guys, from you and from Dr. Roy, just your analyze whatever you can analyze. I mean that article. All I know is at that frequency, it is almost impossible that RF could create any interaction with the living organisms other than heat. So photon deposition of the body and just the heat, there is no way that the decay could happen, or creation the isotopic structure could happen. So yeah, we assigned this phenomenon to resonance acoustical, MRI, nuclear magnetic resonance. We had the structure because there was another winding, there was a horizontal winding, but not going to the specific, that could possibly relate somehow to nuclear magnetic resonance. Yes, definitely, no doubt, I say I saw that and as long as other guys, and also we had one guy from England who was through the internet, through the camera, facing the same. So now that's no doubt.
Are you in the process of trying to duplicate that experiment of small watts in, large amount of watts out with one of those yoke materials? Wes, are you moving in that direction to do that again in Queens?
It's possible. It is possible. I trapped it. I was observing how do I behave in terms of my health. Perfectly okay now. No problem. Although working with Coleman, I had a similar problem. That's why I decided to reach, learn, and collect the equipment. And I do have, I really do have, I believe, almost everything that I need for it. And I mean, vacuum chambers I have, oh, another one. There was one time when I sent you the pictures of another chamber that I had that was, and we spoke about it, that was made for some of the high-frequency filters, small devices with SMI connectors that are in the chamber. You have a vacuum there, and they are cooled by helium generator. It's not a helium generator, it's a helium cooler. So, no matter what I want to do is, if I want to put a Coleman there, then test it, I can do it. If I want to have anything, X-ray, gamma, beta, alpha, I have plenty of stuff over there. The Rolls Royce of Ortec, which is the Detective X. This is something that was used by NSI and is used till now by forces. This one I've gotten pretty cheap. I have another one from Canberra, similar in structure, that one, all of them with software whatsoever. So I'm not afraid in this area. It's just that, I'm always ready. So my answer is yes, I intend to do so.
That guy that you witnessed, where he puts a couple of watts of two different frequencies into a yoke, and he gets either 300 or 600 watts output. He's lighting up these incandescent bulbs, and he's doing that for a good fraction of an hour. Could he do that multiple days in a row? Could he do that for a month? Is there something in the yolk that's being consumed? Or does he have evidence that he could do that every day for a year? Do we have any information along those lines, Wes, with you?
He drafted that experiment after the Lithuania experiment. Originally, he dropped it, and I suggested him, listen, guy, stop. He was experiencing hair loss and headaches. So he was, actually, it started a little bit before we've been, three of us, the guy from England, me, and the guy from Lithuania. He had a device that never worked. What we did is the yolk is made out of two halves. So we suggested him what to wind, how to wind, and then nothing happened. Till I suggested put a piece of paper as a divider between one side of the yolk. And then the other side, he says, listen, I'm getting the result. So I said, listen, wait for me. 2 days later, I was there. And then we provided the experiment. Yes, it was working. right now it's like everybody's waiting for me because I'm the only one who has the proper instrumentation to make sure that he's doing something like that.
So it sounds like you intend to duplicate that experiment. And you do have some of those pieces of that yolk material, Wes, or some of it going to be on the way to you?
Well, definitely I can request some broken one. What usually people did is, this is not America, it's a part of the world when you have a lot of educated people, but also you have people struggling. What they were doing is, they were ripping off anything that had a copper in it. So instead of just taking carefully the ferrite out of the TRT, they were knocking you with a hammer just to get that copper out of it to be sold. So Lithuanian companies was doing millions of those yokes for the TV sets, and they were specific TV sets. When I was a child, I remember my father was teacher. He told me, don't sit close to it. And then I've heard so many places, don't be close to the TV. But you got to understand that the communists, you couldn't say loud certain things. So most likely we know why, but we know that we cannot do it. That's very clear.
It sounds like you might be able to get a hold of some of those pieces and do that experiment. That certainly is hard to explain. And if you could do it for an hour at a time, multiple days in a row, that would be very difficult to explain. I've got to go away. We'll see you later. Bye-bye for now, Wes. Over to you, KQLAW.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. You look at that article that was sent to you and Dr. Roy, I believe he's extremely cooperative. With everything that you explained before, we had the discussion many times, I agree 100% with you. There's no basis for it. But anyhow, asking doesn't hurt. And to actually...
visiting the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system, node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link clear.
Auto connecting.
Node number 9126.
Welcome to the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system, node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link active.
tonight at 8:30. Welcome to the W2VL repeater.
Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2005, with the release date of Friday, April 1st, 2016, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL Amateur Radio Repeater System. Tonight at 8:30, W2VL repeater system. Morning. The time is 5 a.m. Net tonight at 8:30. Welcome to the W2VL repeater.
United, KA2ZI. Listening.
Thank you.